2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 3. This portion that we're in right now, the last part, last week, and then leading into this chapter, it is clear that Paul feels the responsibility on him because of the grace of God that has been bestowed or had been bestowed upon him. And when we go back to that second chapter there in the last verse, in verse 16, it ends with, he has a question there, and he says, who is sufficient for these things? And then we read verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So he asks the question, and then the next verse we have the answer. He proclaims his sincerity in God in preaching Christ. And, of course, he found his sufficiency where? He found it in Christ. Philippians 3:13, do we not read, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And as some of us are getting older, and especially some of us are older than others, we find that we need the Lord's strength all the time, don't we? And more and more all the time.
Yes.
When he says we're not as many, which corrupt the word, that many refers to the Judaizers. And, you know, they make quite a show, but that's hiding the rotting fruit, you might say, the show. And instead, Paul's manner and his ministry, he displays all his goods right in open view. And his motive is Christ.
Yes.
His motive is Christ. All right, let's begin the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. The believers there in Corinth, they were the only recommendation that Paul needed. And as imperfect that they may be, it is still true. Paul had founded that assembly. And the saints there that had received the word from him, they are a testimony of his sincerity that he preached Christ and that they were saved. And he says their lives are known and read of all men. There's a thought there for us concerning our lives. Some don't ever go to church. They never open a Bible. But they read the lives of the ones who say they're Christians. And we want it to be a good report, don't we?
Yeah.
That they see Christ. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Isn't there a lot there in that verse? Yes. The only Bible that some will read is the life of the believers. And it's not written with ink or in stone, but by the Holy Spirit in the heart. Verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Praise the Lord. Paul's sufficiency did not come out of himself. His sufficiency was of God. Have you noticed as we've been reading these first six verses here in this chapter that the plural is used? We, us, are, ourselves, throughout those verses. That's including all true ministers. Paul is including all true ministers here. And now, with the rest of the chapter, it speaks of the superiority of the gospel of Christ over the old dispensation. Now, you all know what the old dispensation is. It's the Old Testament, the law. And what does he say here? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. The letter, of course, is that's speaking of the law. And when we read the Spirit here, now what's that speaking of? It is speaking of the Lord himself. Go down to verse 17 and the very first phrase. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Yeah. Makes it pretty plain. Yeah. Yes. Now the Lord is that Spirit. So what do we have here? Law and Christ. The contrast. Okay? Let's begin verse 7. And we'll read through verse 10. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Exceed in glory. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Oh, praise the Lord. The law here in verse 9 is called the ministration of condemnation. For the law does condemn the guilty sinner before the judgment seat of the holy God. But the ministration of the Spirit is the ministration of righteousness. What a contrast. What a contrast. We could say Selah on all of these things. Think on that. It's not the self-righteousness which is of the law, but absolutely the righteousness of God that is imparted to the unrighteous one who believes on Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The former, the law, it was glorious because it justified God. It was his holy law. But here we read, there is that which exceeds in glory. And why? Because it displays God's love. Yes, the latter exceeds in glory. The only righteousness that is accepted by God. And then we read in verse 7, it says that the law is the ministration of death. And that's the result of condemnation. the penalty of death for sin. The law could not make man righteous. It could not give him life. It only executed him. But the ministration of the Spirit is transcendently glorious because it gives and it sustains life. Selah. It protects and perfects growth of that life and then crowns it with eternal reward. What a contrast. What a contrast. And in verse 7 and verses 11 through 16, we'll read them. The law ministers dimness. And let's read verse 7 again. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look on the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Let's go down to verse 11. For if that which is gone away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Verse 15, for even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Yes. The very law that they had hoped that would give them light, it only veiled their eyes from beholding God's grace. The ministration of the Spirit bringeth light. Let's go to chapter 4 and read verse 6. For God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We could say Selah again. Think on that. You know, the law, how much that is proclaimed in Christian circles even today. And ones that say you have to keep the Ten Commandments and so on. The law was never given to the Gentiles. And the most that it could do for the Jew was a schoolmaster until Christ. Read the book of Galatians. The law showed them their sinful condition, but it could not save them. Now, I'm going to go to Galatians, and you can go with me because we're going to be coming right back here. Or just listen. I'm going to first read Galatians 2:21, and I'm going to hold my place in Galatians because I'm going to be coming here again. But in Galatians 2:21, Paul says to them, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Right? He wouldn't have had to come if the law could make them righteous. Amen? Amen. Amen. Only abounding grace can save a sinner. Let's go in the third chapter of Galatians. I could read the whole chapter, but I'm going to just pick out a few verses here. And first, I want to read Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Let's go down to verse 26. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Yes, we were born a promise. Praise the Lord. That's how we are the children of Abraham. It's because we're born a promise. When saints are still under the law, as we read in Galatians, they had been saved by grace and then they went back to the law. And that's why he wrote Galatians. Well, when saints are still under the law and then they see the truth of grace, they throw off that galling yoke of bondage. And that's what the law is, a yoke of bondage. And they shout their freedom in Christ. You know, I was raised in the grace. I did not know, never had been under the law. But then I've heard the testimony of ones who had been raised under the law. And then they see the light on grace. And wow, they are so just, oh, elated and beside themselves in praise to God, that it kind of puts us to shame who just take it for granted. And you notice, take note in verse 11 that it says that the Spirit remaineth because Christ is our great high priest. He continueth ever and hath an unchangeable priesthood. I've written in my notes Hebrews 7:24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, praise the Lord. Again, Selah. Think on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There isn't room for fear. There's no room for defeat. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doesn't that not go along with the special song? He's working in all of us. Hallelujah. Well, the law ministered bondage and knows no freedom. It only has a promise of judgment for violations. Well, let's go on with verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes. Praise the Lord. So now we know that the Spirit that's speaking of in this chapter, it's speaking of the Lord, our Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The liberty of the glory of the sons of God. Now, this isn't liberty to commit sin, God forbid, but freedom from law, freedom to demand power over sin and over Satan. There's no excuse for sinning, for isn't there ample provision by our Father? Yes, which we lay a hold of by faith. And, of course, that's through the enabling of the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of God, and he executes the will of God and of the Son. Last verse, 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, by steadfastly beholding the face of our glorious Lord, looking unto Him, the author of our faith. And through faith in His Word, and the Word is termed here like a mirror. We look into the Word, we see ourselves, and we see how dirty we are. But we see Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this change into His image is a day-by-day process, till we shall be like Him and see Him as He is. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, and He's going to appear, we're going to hear the trumpet, and we're going to be gone. We shall see Him, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And it says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. Praise the Lord. What a priestly ministry is ours. We have the privilege of bringing this glorious truth to others. Our neighbor may be lost and going to out into eternity. Need someone to tell them about the Lord. Some that we do business with. Some are in our own families, maybe. We have a glorious privilege of telling them about Christ, and of their liberty as sons of God, and of the privilege of being partakers of Christ's glory here and now. And we shall enjoy the riches of His glory forever. Some of the saints have gone on this last month, some just this last week. They're only knowing glory, only knowing glory. And then I think I'll close with 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. I can't say any more except Selah. Think on these things. Meditate on them. The Lord will bless your heart. He'll give you thoughts. He'll praise the Lord. He will encourage you to press on. Press on.